Okay.
Hi.
Yeah.
All right. We have an emergency sort of details. Keith Raniere means emergency podcast recording.
Beep, 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 beep.
I guess since we're going to, this is an emergency ep where we had to join forces to tool on Keith Raniere. Yeah. I was in a pretty grim situation for a few years that I am now free from. Cheers to the screen. This isn't video. This is audio. But yeah, dude. Yeah. What's up?
Well, and it's like, it's been a while, right?
Been a while.
It's been like 4 years or some shit.
No. Oh my God. Yes, it has.
Yes, bro.
Oh my God. I've lived in England. Yes. What are you saying? Wait, how long has it been since you moved back to Atlanta?
A year. But I will always know when you moved because that was when I got sick.
Yes, and that was
and I
December.
Just had my 4 yearsies. So
yeah, dude, your you 4 year anniversary of not dying,
dude. I know
you should have a party.
I know, dude. It's like my 4 year anniversary of septic shock couldn't kill me, man.
That's right, dude. Happy not dying anniversary.
Yeah, and happy fucking getting back on the mic to Desora Dietz and
my life back. Yeah. Yes.
I know we haven't done one of these in many, many years. And it's awesome. I'm glad to see you. Glad that you're out of the thing.
Also, it's easier now because you moved back to Atlanta. Before, the time difference was 8 hours. So it was like, you know, when you were getting off work and stuff, like I was fast asleep, but now you're back on the East Coast. So it's like a lot easier. And
that's right.
I am so obsessed with Nexium that I was like, there's no one else on the planet I could talk about this guy except with you, because and this is also a thing where I'm like, I want to make it very clear. I am not making fun of anybody in the shit. This is a Keith Raniere hate zone.
Yes.
Because now from personal experience, I can now understand how easy it can be to be manipulated, even when you think that you're like a smart, tough person or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So you know what I mean? Like I definitely watched it at first being like, I mean, I guess my thing with Keith Raniere too, is that he's so not charismatic. I'm always interested when I watch a cult thing or a scam thing that everyone's like, oh my God, dude, he was so charismatic. And then they cut to this motherfucker. And I'm like, I'm sorry, what? This is your dude?
So, okay. I want to ask you a few questions to like bring maybe some people up to speed, because maybe some people didn't see this or hear about this, because I didn't until Thanksgiving, basically.
Oh, yeah. Because I think that I texted you at first, because like the first season of The Vow. Okay. We're talking about The Vow at first. The Vow documentary on HBO, right? Mm-hmm. And wasn't the first season like 2 years ago or something?
Yeah, and for some reason, I totally missed it. Okay, to be completely honest with you, the only thing that I had heard about this was the Allison Mack thing. Because, you know, I watched Smallville a little bit when it was first out and sort of knew who she was from that show, but then I didn't. I just, all I heard was cult and the girl from Smallville, and that's all I knew about. Yes. And then I guess I just didn't engage with any of it. And then it wasn't until right before Thanksgiving, I was on an airplane. And for some reason I was watching, they had a couple episodes of the other documentary about Nexium, the one with Indy Oxenberg.
Yes. And I remember I watched the first season like as it was happening, courtesy of Chip's HBO Max password.
Yes.
And then kind of forgot about it, but just was like, you know, at the end of the first season, you're like waiting to see what happens to him. And then so you texted me like a couple weeks ago, you texted me and you were just like, yo, you, what's up with this dude? Like, you were just like, yo, you heard of this dude? And I was like, bro, I'm so obsessed with this total creep. I hate him so much. I like exist on hating him and seethe with rage every time I have to see his face or hear his voice. And yeah, so you though had watched, because I only watched The Vow. Oh, and then I had watched Seduce. But then you were like, yo, you got to listen to Escaping Nexium. You got to listen to this podcast. So I was like, shit.
Yes. Seduced, I think it's what it's called.
Yes. I remember at the time that we might have even, because Smallville was on, wasn't it on when we were roommates?
Yeah, was it on like the WB or CW or something like that? Yes. One of those things. Yeah, I think it was like a long time ago.
Because I even remember in passing, like, I guess when this first was out in the pop culture, like whatever, when it was first coming to light, I totally remember you. I remember people in passing, like maybe even David, just being like, yo, did you hear like the dorky girl from Smallville is in a sex cult? Like, I just remember that being kind of like the gist of it. And we were just like, wow, that's weird. But not knowing any other details.
Well, and then to be completely honest with you, I think I was actually getting it confused with that other cult with that Andrew Keegan guy. Is that the other, like, doesn't he have a cult too?
Wait a minute. Andrew Keegan, like, what move from, like, high school movies? Like, wait a minute, yeah, isn't he, like, the hot muscle guy in, like, certain teen movies?
Yeah, he, in 10 Things I Hate About You.
Yeah.
But this guy was the actual, like, jock asshole from that movie.
Yes.
And I want to say he was in...
What's his cult?
See...
The muscle cult?
I'm going to his Wikipedia now. He started another cult. It's called...
Wait, he started it?
Yeah, it says... Okay, I'll read it to you from Wikipedia.
Okay.
In 2014, Keegan founded Full Circle, a community spiritual center based in Venice,
of course.
Los Angeles.
Yes.
Vice characterized it as a new religion, while other outlets called it a cult. And in an interview, Keegan described it as a non-denominational spiritual community center where people of all beliefs and backgrounds come together to meditate.
To flex their muscles.
Yes. But it's like...
Wait, Full Circle is what you said?
Yes.
And so, he started it. He's like the dude of it.
Yes. And then apparently their temple was raided California Department because they were making illegal kombucha or something.
So he had like the health inspector come in and be like, this is not on the up and up. This kombucha factory at the cult started by the bully in a movie.
So full disclosure, I think I was confusing all of those people. I didn't know. I thought maybe Andrew Keegan and the Smallville chick were in the same cult, but apparently not. And then again, it wasn't until I watched that documentary on the plane, and I actually thought The Vow, I thought that was The Vow. I didn't realize there were two separate documentaries.
There's actually more. Oh, dude, I've gotten so I could have like my master's thesis on Nexium at this point because I have watched and listened to every available piece of information. Okay, for anybody listening this far, go watch The Vow or Seduced or just read anything you can about Nexium, NXIVM, right? That's what we talk about. The leader is this guy, Keith Raniere. I'm sure you've seen it in the news or whatever, too, because he just went to jail. But yeah, like, and there's now, you know, 12 podcasts and documentaries about it. And I got to say, in each one, I learn a new thing.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think I'm interested in you because you since you've done like all of the research. I just watched the documentaries and I did listen to the CBC podcast.
Yes. I'm listening. I listened to that. I've listened to a few episodes. Okay. Well, I guess the cast of characters. Okay. So the guy is Keith Raniere, right? He's the guy who started it. Now, I guess and you just reading that guy's Wikipedia, you know how I am with like business plans and like the intricate detail, like how... I guess I'm like, how does this start, right? Because it's like tomorrow. Say tomorrow, I'm like, you know what? I want to start a cult. I'm going to start a kombucha cult or whatever, like that guy. It's like, how do you get that off the ground? How do you go from just you to 5 people, to 10 people, to 20 people? It's like, how does Keith Raniere go, what's up? I run this thing and I want you to join. And like the first handful of people, it's like, how do you get them to join? Because why wouldn't they just be like, I don't know, some dude just came up to me and was like, come join my thing. Like, if you don't have the power of numbers behind you, it's like, how does it get off the ground?
Well, so what I think is actually really fascinating about the story is that I just butchered his last name. As I was typing it into Google, I spelled it completely wrong. He like had a pyramid scheme, right? Yes. That's like began any of this. Yes. Is that he ran a pyramid scheme.
Yes.
It was kind of like a Amway type of thing.
Yes.
Right?
But that's also like what that to me would make it harder to pivot to being a cult. Like if you go, okay, at the core of most cults, I guess, what I've seen, I would argue that they're like vaguely spiritual. Do you know what I mean? Like they come at you with like, make your life better, meditate, drink kombucha, like whatever. So the fact that he pivoted from being a straight up businessman, like just a straight up capitalist business, I own a business, to taking the hard left turn of like, now I'm a guru. Girl, I'm a spiritual guru now. I'd be like, weren't you the head of a pyramid scheme like 5 minutes ago? I mean, this is, Nexium is not a religion though. So this is different, I guess. If you're trying to paint yourself as like a spiritual leader, which I think he was since he's like hanging out with the Dalai Lama and shit, wouldn't you not be like a capitalist, I guess? Like that's my thing too, is that if your whole thing is you're like, I'm a seeker, I'm a lifelong student of life, I'm on a quest, you know, all this kind of shit. And then I look you up and it's like, really? Because like 5 years ago, you were doing infomercials. That seems completely antithetical to like whatever this thing is. You know what I mean? It's like such a hard turn that it's like, what?
Well, and it, like, I don't know. There's just so many like working parts to this entire story because there's like, there's like the beginning stuff, like the freaking consumer byline stuff. Then there's like when Nancy gets involved and they start this ESP thing. And the structure of that business, meaning you pay per class or something to get those stripes on your scarf sash.
Yes. And you know what I love too about that is that that is the thing with things like this in Scientology, they have to keep inventing. Like if you know what I mean, if say you, they have to keep inventing levels because if you keep studying and you keep passing their thing and you keep leveling up and leveling up, then there's you're eventually going to get to a point where you're like, what's up guys, I'm done, I've got all the executive success I can get.
Who Xenu is now. You can tell me about Xenu now.
So they have to keep inventing, so then they have to go, no you got to do another level, oh no you got to study another book, oh you got to do that, because it's like you can't ever be done because you got to keep paying them money. And so that's what I loved about the sash thing, is that at first it was colors, you know, they're just like, you start with a white sash, then you get a gold sash, then a green sash and whatever. And then, and you know, whatever the highest one was, I have no idea. Say it was like red. But then once people started getting that, then they were like, oh, now you got to get stripes on it. You got to do extra tests. And then you're not a real whatever master teacher or whatever until you got like 9 stripes. And then, you know what I mean? It's like, I bet if people kept doing that, then they'd be like, well, now you got to have polka dots on the other side and you got to pay for each polka dot. Like they would, because you can't ever be done.
Yeah, exactly. And that's sad as fuck, because it's like people were like, I mean, shit, like everybody experiences this, like, you know, when they're at work and they think, oh, I've gotten to this point, like I'm getting a promotion, I'm getting it. And then they're like, actually, no, you are still the same piece of shit you were.
Dude,
before.
And because they're just making up curriculum. Can you imagine like being your senior year of college, like, you know, you're in the last semester of your senior year of college being like, man, I'm almost done, this rules. And then all of a sudden a professor comes out like, actually, we just added a new semester of full of shit that we just made up. And you just be like,
what? Get a couple stripes on that, on that diploma.
Yeah, totally. Totally.
Well, and that's the thing. I think it's a related, though. I feel like a pyramid scheme, honestly, is like, you have to like, there is a level of, I don't know, of sort of like excess cheer or some sort of like weird, do you know what I'm saying? Like, it's not as if you just like people are real lackadaisical about you joining the pyramid scheme, right? You don't just like accidentally join one and nobody cares and nobody reaches out to you.
Yeah.
It's like so much of it is just like super promote-y and super, it's like people have to convince you to get in on it because ultimately you're having to spend a lot of money. right? So there's a level of, like, I don't know, like, coercion to a degree.
Sure.
That, so, you know, I feel like the base level of that is what he's taken to his other endeavors.
Yeah, he's, right? Like, already learned those kind of skills of, like, getting people to, you know, pay, right? Because you had to pay to be, so Nexium, here's the other thing I'm unclear on with Nexium and all kinds of similar things, right? Where the premise is self-help or self-improvement.
Right.
It's almost like a Tony Robbins thing where it's like, you pay to take these classes and we're going to help you. And then, but it's like endless classes where they go, they're all talking about their goals and dreams. Oh, I'm going to reach my goals. Oh, my dreams. Dream your dreams and goals and reach your goals and dreams. And I'm like, so when you're actually doing that, all you guys do is take these classes where you talk about reaching your goals and your dreams. And it's like, okay, how many hours of talking about that do you have to put in before you actually do a goal? Do you know what I mean? Like,
well, I think part of it too, is that I feel like this kind of, I don't know, like, to me, I'm like looking at his Wikipedia account, not his account, but, you know, his page. His Wikipedia page. His account where he's logged in.
He edits Wikipedia. He probably is. He's like, Keith Raniere is the greatest and smartest guy in the universe. Yeah, totally.
Well, and it talks about, like, the very beginning of his, it's like the section called multi-level marketing career. And it says that he was involved with Amway.
Yeah, of course. No, I think that's how he started. Yeah.
And then he was also fascinated by Scientology and neuro-linguistic programming.
Yes.
Which, to me, I know about that from that damn book about the, what do you call it?
The game.
The game. Exactly. Yeah, dude. The game.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
Well, also the things, if when you watch The Vow too, there's like things that are wholesale lifted from Scientology. I'm like beyond obsessed with Scientology. That's another thing. And because when I lived in LA, you know, Dan, my friend Dan, his apartment, the person who ever lived in his apartment before him was a Scientologist. So he got all the literature, like they still sent it to him. So I have like a whole like file cabinet full of it because it's just the most hilarious word salad you've ever read. Mm-hmm. But a lot of the shit in this was like straight up word for word from Scientology.
Yeah.
And like, yeah. And the NLP, like, look, I don't even know where to start with this guy. Like, I'm so furious because having experienced what I've experienced, some of it is so similar to his behavior and this thing of like getting you to flip your own. It's that thing where it's like people have figured out how to like do a shitty thing to you. It's like if I did a super shitty thing to you and then you were like, hey, fuck you for doing that shitty thing. And then me going, see, that's your ego talking. That's your, you know, your pride talking. Like if you wouldn't be mad at me if you were enlightened. It's like that kind of thing where it's like they flip it on you and make you feel ashamed for having like regular ass feelings where you're like, no, I'm supposed to feel mad right now because you did a shitty thing to me. And they're like, no, like if you really learned, you whatever the fuck this like self-help shit is, if you were really doing the work, like you wouldn't feel that way. And he was like the king of doing that. Or also when people trick you into thinking they're smart because they just answer everything you say with a question. I hate that shit so much. Where you say something, they're like, where you would be like, hey, I think I'm feeling sad. And then they would go, well, why is it that you think you feel sadness? And then you're just like, whoa, mind blown. It's like, no, he just answered your thing with a question. That's not.
Yeah. That's like the con. I mean, that it's like people who try to get you to stay on the phone on a 1-900 line. It's just like, keep it going as much as it can. And that's the thing ultimately that is like, what I feel like is like the foundation of his like personality is that he's the type of dude that like, he seems like the type of dude based on everything that we've seen and read about him. Like who loves this idea of like manipulating people.
Yes.
Like, people who are like, oh my God, I can't wait to, it is kind of a game. It's like the game, the system of like, well, I can get people to do whatever I want. Yes. I have such power. And I'm like, that's such a dorky fucking desire. Like, really? You want to like, you know, basically get people to like follow your every fucking word. Like, it's just such a dorky impulse. And that's kind of like what I feel like That's like everything that we've heard about him being like into MLM stuff,
yes,
being into Scientology, being into the neuro-linguistic programming, starting this other shit, and just like his whole like thing with the women. It's just all goes back to this idea that he's just like a dork that wants to.
He's fucking king of the dorks.
Yes.
And that was the thing that's infuriating too. It's like, not only, because they also talk about, so he, his backstory that he's like, I'm in the Guinness Book of Records. He was like, I'm in the Guinness Book of Records for being the smartest guy in the world, which I'm just like, how would you even, he, one of the things that I watched, I, at this point, I swear I've watched so many documentaries, but it had the person, a reporter actually went and looked up that he is in like one issue. It was like the 1988 or whatever Guinness Book of Records. And it was because he did a take home test. Like there was some take home IQ test and he like did it and turned it in, which I'm like, hello, who wouldn't cheat? I'd be like, yeah, I'll probably be the smartest person in the world if I take a fucking take home test and look up the answers or whatever. So that's his thing, is he was like, I'm the smartest man in the world. And everyone's like, all right, definitely checks out. And then they show he lives in like a townhouse that is straight up filthy. And then all he does is lay on the couch and get like massaged. And I'm just going, I guess I'm like, I mean, I'm so childlike because I would just think if you're the literal smartest person in the world, right? I don't know. I just, your surroundings, I think, would be so different. And I would assume that it's just like, he just seems like such a boring dork who's also a slob and who wears like polo shirts with basketball shorts. And I'm just like, I don't see, like, the smartest person in the literal world would not behave like this. I don't know. I don't know how to explain it, but it was like, that's the thing, is so you at least think that you're going to see some guy wearing like some kind of robes or like whatever the fuck. And then they just cut to this dork with like terrible glasses, like glasses I had in like third grade, laying on a couch being like, yes, I'm so smart.
I mean, like, I guess that's kind of why people really like thought he was so unassuming, is because he was like just a normal dude with like bad clothes and like kind of like bad decor in his apartment and didn't clean his fucking shit. And
well, that's so that, I mean, I couldn't stop tripping over the townhouses, right, too, because I was like, okay, who, if you're, their home base was Albany, New York, right? Fine, great. If you live there, that's great. I'm sure it's a great place. But it's just like, and that was the other thing, too, where I'm like, who did he get to buy all these townhouses? Where is, how were they, like, shopping around going, you know what? Here's, this is ground zero, guys, we're gonna do it.
Yeah, that was real weird to me too, because I was like, certainly there are people who are not in the cult that live here,
and yes, like, in that, like, neighborhood,
all my neighbors were trying to go to this guy's house all the time, yes, and give him massages
and go on dinner, like 3 a.m walks and like midnight volleyball with him. Dude, I don't care what you promise me in your cult. If one of the conditions is like, you got to get up every night at like 2 a.m. and go play volleyball, I'm out. I'm out.
Also, too, like, that's where he like disseminated his like guru wisdom, yes, is during volleyball games. Volleyball, indoor course. Volleyball games. Like, he'd be like, yo, let me
put like knee serve pads on and shit.
And then people would be like sitting there waiting desperately, yes, like on their knees, like, tell me my wisdom, oh great, yes, one. And he'd just be like all sweating in his like Nike gear and be like, oh yeah, I don't know who's got the point on that one, yeah, but then let me tell you a little bit about how the world works. I'm like, that is, ooh, fucked up.
Like, that's like going and gathering around like the feet of like what, Panama Jack or something, being like, or I don't know, does Panama Jack play ball? He's on the like sunscreen, whatever. Exactly. It's like after a bout of midnight volleyball, you're like, yes, give me them nugs and whiz after we're all sweaty on the indoor public gym volleyball court or whatever.
I would be like, this guy just wants people to watch him play volleyball. Yes. Like he's dangling, he's tickling my balls, saying he's like about to drop some like mad science, but he just wants us to watch him play volleyball.
Also, I would argue, is volleyball not like the least impressive sport? Like, I feel like I can play volleyball.
I have not played one game of indoor volleyball since like 10th grade. Like, I don't know who continues to play. Where do you even play it normally?
Is it in the Olympics? I feel like it might be in the Olympics.
But I think
feel
like outdoor volleyball is indoor volleyball.
Does it make it, is it harder because it's on sand, I guess, if it's outdoor? Is that like more of the challenge?
Yeah, I guess so. Because look, I imagine if Top Gun volleyball scene happened indoors.
Then there would have no reason to be greasy. I know, exactly. Well, this is the thing that was so funny about him to me too, right? So he goes, this is the thing that he led with in his bio. Like his whole thing of like, here's why I'm qualified to lead all of you guys. Number one, smartest man in the entire world. Number two, remember he was like a judo champion. Like that was his thing. Is he was like,
really?
He was like, I'm a big time judo champion. Number three, concert pianist. Number four, like great at volleyball. So that's the funniest thing to me is that like those were to him, that proved he was a polymath. Like to him, this is like, see how well-rounded I am. And like, I am deserving of being your leader. Cause like I excel at these four disparate things. One of them being volleyball that you have to come watch me play all the time. And I like how, because he was good at it, it became like a requirement of Nexium, of like being in the thing, is that you got to go do it. You got to go play it at night.
So bizarre. So bizarre. I mean, the walking thing is at least seems a little spiritual. Like many spiritual leaders have gone on walks, yes, but none of them played indoor volleyball.
Indoor volleyball with like elbow pads and knee pads, hair in a ponytail, my third grade glasses, and everyone being like, yep, this is the guy. He's the genius.
The one thing that was really fascinating to me is that like, so all of the videos, this was really more in the Val than it was, I think, in Seduce, but like when they would show like the Nancy videos, they were super like Tim and Eric, which I thought was really
cool.
But then also, I was trying to sit there and be like, I was like, listen, I'm smart. No, I'm a smart person.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea what she's saying.
No idea. It's word salad. It's because it's nonsense word salad. I also agree. Dude, you nailed it. It was totally Tim and Eric where it looked like it was going to be like some weird prank video. And yes, especially because she acts like she's making contact with the room. There was like one video where she's like looking around, like pretending to make eye contact where we're going, it's a video, dude. We know you're on a video. Like you don't have to do that. That's weird. But yeah, it is just, it's just straight up word salad. Like it doesn't actually mean anything. Or so often the things they would show, the clips they would show of Keith would just be straight up platitudes that you could find embroidered on like any pillow at a fucking Michael's Crafts. And everyone would go, oh my God, can you believe the wisdom? And it's like, yeah, I believe it. Like if he truly, I mean, he was borderline, just the way he was phrasing and just the inflection he would put on certain things to make it seem meaningful. I swear to God, it was borderline. Like, you know, many people say one tequila, two tequila, three tequila floor. And then everyone like stands up like, oh my God, the wisdom. You know what I mean?
Vanguard, Vanguard.
Yes. Totally.
It was just tequila. Like,
but it was just like, you know, shit like that where it's like off of a bumper sticker, but because of the way he would phrase it and because of like the way he would say it, everyone's like, oh man, I never thought of it that way. You know what I mean?
He's like, I mean, if you think about it,
yeah,
in this world, we do have three elemental choices. It can either be ass.
Oh my God, I swear to God, I was just about to say that.
Or grass. And
the universe teaches us nobody rides for free.
Nobody rides for free is what the great thinkers and philosophers have passed down to us over the years.
Yes. Exactly. It's like, that's the way that he would talk where it was like, he was just saying shit like that. And everyone was like, oh my God, this is blowing my mind. And he made everybody call him Vanguard.
That is absolute red flag numero uno. Is somebody making you call them Vanguard? No.
And I, seriously, the seething hatred that I have for this guy that it's unbelievable because I just recognize so many of the patterns and so many of the ways that he would flip shit. And I, oh my God. Oh my God. But I just, I, yeah. After watching all of these things and like seeing how long, like that some people had been in there for like decades and decades. And the fact that he constantly had like five girlfriends at all times.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, so getting it. So Nexium itself was just like a self-help thing. Right. But then he had his like side hustle in it was DOS, where he had all of these women be his slaves. Like literally that's what they called each other. They called each other master and slave. Right.
Well, I got to back up a tiny bit because these like little side groups in Nexium. Listen, far be it from me to say, this isn't my religion. I've never followed Nexium one day in my life, but like these little groups, like the Society of Protectors.
Yes. Yes.
That's some Sea Org shit, dude.
That's what I'm saying.
What is that?
Yes. And also, I guess what's interesting is that Nexium wasn't even a religion. So that's the thing is like, that's how everybody got in at first because they thought they were taking like self-help classes, which I'm like, okay, great. But then exactly. It's like, if you go like, who doesn't want to be better? We all want to be better. Great. Go to your self-help class. But yes, exactly. As soon as you're in the class and they're like, well, here's the guy who teaches the class. You have to call him Vanguard. I'd be like, sorry, what? Why are we not just calling him Keith? Like, yeah. Once they introduce that element into it, then you are like, wait, is this a religion? Like, but so listening to Escaping Nexium though, like he's been a sex perv since like day one, even pre-Nexium.
Mm-hmm.
So like that isn't even part of the quote cult, like a sex cult. It's like this guy has been running these weird tricks since jump, since he was like a total nerd in the consumer's byline thing. By the way, can you please tell me, can you explain to me consumer's byline? When those elements are like, when they were showing that part of his getting his start, I'm like, sorry, what is this business? Like you signed up to get discount. It was like Groupon kind of.
I mean, I guess, I mean, without looking it up right now, I guess it's kind of that thing where you get like discounts on stuff. Yeah. Maybe it is.
It
like
was something about like buying prototype in bulk or something, wasn't it? And then you get like a discount if you buy in bulk. I couldn't really understand it.
I guess I'm also a little shady on MLMs. Period.
Yes.
Like I've listened to the MLM podcast and everything, and it's fascinating to me because it does definitely rely on like psychology and getting people to sign up. And I've seen like pretty much every documentary about an MLM. Like
yes.
The LuLaRoe
one is rad.
Oh, that's yeah. The buttery soft leggings.
Yes. Yes.
People were fucking into those buttery soft leggings.
Yes. But then you get to a point where you're like, every single person on your street is selling the leggings. So how y'all gonna sell them to each other? Like you're all selling them.
Well, but it's also to this point too, where like, you don't really make money unless other people are making you money. Is that kind of how it works?
Well,
so it's like, you could be selling leggings all day, but if you don't become somebody's manager, then you don't get shit, right?
Well, so that's why, like, that's the definition, right? So, like, that's how they caught them, because that's the pyramid. Like, if you're not making any of your money off sales and you're only making your money off of people that you recruit, then it's a pyramid scheme. But even the setup of consumer's byline was, like, unclear to me. Like, it just, in those clips that they showed of his old, also, I couldn't believe the guy from Green Acres was in the infomercial. What's his name? Eddie something. He's like, hey, I'm Eddie, you know, from Green Acres. Okay, yeah. And then he's like, meet Keith Raniere, a genius, you know, entrepreneur or whatever. And he's like, yes, thank you. It is great. And then they do the whole infomercial. But even then I'm like, okay, so like I said, it seemed like you had to buy things in bulk or buy... Yeah, it wasn't even items, right? It was like you could also get deals on like vacations and shit. Like, just was like, I am so unclear on what this business model is anyway, and even how it got shut down. But I guess it was a pyramid scheme and whatever he was doing.
To me, like, real sus is when somebody's like trying to get you to, like, trying to basically be like, come and make a bunch of money and be like your own boss and be like really successful.
I'm like immediately,
but then you
like
have no idea. You have no idea what it is.
Yes.
What the product is.
I swear to God, so. If I just read the phrase "be your own boss," I'm like, Scam. Automatic scam.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just like, I don't know what it is about me where I guess I'm just like not, I'm not always like looking for people to tell me how to be successful. No. Like, I'm just like, if I'm successful at something, then that's great. But I don't want to like take classes on how to be successful. Like, I don't know. It just seems like scammy, right? It's scammy.
Completely. Well, also because it's like, first of all, everyone's definition of success is different. Like, yes, all of those to me, it seems like they're almost always, they're if you want to be successful, it's like they're trying to train you to be like the CEO of something or own your own business. Like, that seems to be their, that particular definition of success that's in like self-help type shit. It's almost always business. It's like, do you want to own a business? Do you want to be a zillionaire because you own a business? It's like business, business, business. Like, they're not any, I mean, this sounds dumb, but they're not ever like a creative thing, or it always just seems to be like, do you want to be a mogul? That's what success means. And I'm like, not really.
Yeah. I would have joined executive success programs had it not
been
for...
But you don't want to be an executive. That's what I'm saying. Like, the language is so business-minded. Like, that's what I thought was so funny about how many, like, actors and stuff joined it, because I'm like, you guys aren't executives. Being an actor is, like, the opposite of being an executive. So I'm always fascinated by how business-centric all that kind of wording is. Because I can understand if it was, like, a creatively... Like, if they named it, like, artistic endeavors programs or some shit, then it would be like, oh, okay, right. But executive success programs just makes it sound like a bunch of dudes who work at like Enron or something went to it, and not like actresses. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, but it feels like that's all carried over from those early days. They should have named, if they just named it Jeunesse, it's a little bit more. Like, if they just was like, yo, this business is called Jeunesse, people would be like, oh my God, this sounds cool.
Okay. It's so amazing that you say that, because after I watch any documentary, I immediately want to read everything about it for like months afterward. Honestly, especially if it's just like some weird thing I've never heard of, I just go, how have I never heard of that? And then I'm like researching it on the internet for like 6 months later and like wasting all of my time. So obviously I've done that with Nexium, and I assumed, another thing I love about this and like Scientology, you know, I love people who like make up their own, like, you know, how Scientology made up its own Navy and shit. Like, I love people who make up things that like are not credentialed in any way and like make up their own ranking system and their hierarchy and whatever. So like, yeah, Nexium had all of these like sub clubs, like these subsects, right? Like the society, like you brought it up, the Society of Protectors and shit. So I assumed Jeunesse, because it's the woman's one. I was like, okay, well, surely that's got to be like an acronym, right? Like, that's got to stand for something. They just made that up. I was reading an interview with somebody, some ex-member. I don't know if it was Sarah Edmondson or whoever it was, but they were like, oh no, that's just like a made up word we just made up. And I'm like, you just made up Jeunesse? Like, that doesn't stand for anything? Like, it just, what, sounds like a feminine word? You're like, we go to Jeunesse.
Is it J apostrophe N-E-S-S, like Jhené Aiko?
No, it's not even an apostrophe.
Oh, wow.
It's just J-N-E-S-S. And it means nothing. Like, they just made that up. And so then you, as a member of it, got to be all serious. Like, I got to go to Jeunesse tonight. I got my Jeunesse class tonight. It's just made up.
And that ultimately is a better name than executive success programs. Because it is like vague, and you're like, oh, it sounds kind of catchy and like kind of self-helpy. I don't know. Like, it sounds so much better.
What would you think it would stand for? What would you think Jeunesse stands for? Just needing executive success.
Sex.
Just needing executive success, sex. Maybe that is what
just
it stood
needing.
For. I just need some executive success. Why would you put the J on it? Jeunesse.
Well, and like that is one thing, but then it gets leveled up But then don't you think it got like leveled up to this like really like chaotic fucking medieval shit when it's like society of
protectors? Yes, of course, of course.
And then DOS, which is some Latin like, thing, right?
Dominus. It was like the Latin words for like dominant and submissive. Oh, totally. Society of Protectors is like the most medieval shit ever. And especially since he's the leader and you got to call him Vanguard, you got to be like, Vanguard, will you be at the Society of Protectors meeting tonight? It's after the lady folk get back from Jeunesse. Yeah, like all that made up language shit.
Society of Protectors. Yes. That is such a weird, like misogynist, like dudes rock fucking weird thing. Like, don't you think that's protectors? Like,
well, right. And then that was the thing too, is like the deeper that you got into it, the more, I mean, he was a crazy was. I like how I'm talking, he's very alive and thankfully in jail for like a million years, but he's such a crazy misogynist too, that like that was the other thing that really hit way too close to home as far as like saying wild shit. And then when especially women would have a reaction, he'd be like, see, yeah, because that's how women are. Like, women are dramatic and they're not reasonable like men. And it's like, no, dude, I'm having this reaction because you just said some fucking wild shit. Like, it's normal to have a reaction to that, you know? Like,
that's just the con of everything, is just being like, since you're always responsible for your own success or your own like livelihood, if you do anything wrong, it's not their fault.
Yeah, see, that is at its core, their whole thing about quote self-improvement is like basically telling you that if you ever have any feelings, it's bad. It was almost like that. It was almost like, if you feel anything, it's bad. If you feel angry, it's your fault. If you feel sad, it's your fault. Like, don't be a victim. Oh, ultimate victim is the phrase. He was like, don't be an ultimate victim, which is like such weird wording. Cause I'm like, what the fuck does that mean? Like, an ultimate victim. But yeah, so that's the thing, is like, it's like if I punch you in the face and you get upset, and then I'm like, you should be more evolved than that. You shouldn't be getting upset. And it's like, no, motherfucker, you punched me in the face. Like, of course I'm upset. And they're like, see, that's because you aren't like self-actualized yet. And so, yeah, it's just him teaching you that if you feel badly about anything he's saying to you, it's your problem, not his. And that's just drives me insane.
Right. I mean, and it's such like bullshit, because it just means that like, if I say anything to you, you're misinterpreting it. It's your fault for misinterpreting it. And I have no responsibility towards you as a fellow human being to protect you or make you feel good or do anything. Like, I'm just out here saying literally whatever I want to people, and if they take it the wrong way or if they have a negative reaction to it, it's on them. Yeah. And then they need to go to fucking therapy, or what is it called?
They need to do an EM, which, by the way, is Scientology all day. Like, oh, yeah, EM is the same as that fucking E-meter thing. Yes.
Yeah. Holding on to them cans.
Yes, yes.
I saw that coming from a million miles away. I was like, and then, you know, the idea that they would be recording it, and then, you know, you're out there like basically talking about your deepest, darkest secrets, and then it's collateral. That whole collateral thing was such a psychology.
Okay. So again, if you haven't seen it, here's the thing that tripped me out the most about Collateral. So DOS is the secret like sex society within this thing, right? And it was all women. And you had to, before you could even know about it, you had to give collateral. So it's like, if I come to you and I'm like, yo, Millie, what's up? I want you to join my secret club. And you were like, sounds cool. What's the secret club about? And I was like, well, before I can even tell you what the secret club is about, this isn't even you joining, this is just me telling you about it, you got to give me like a naked picture. Who wouldn't be like, no, I'm good, it's cool, I don't need to know what it's about.
Yeah, I don't, I'm not literally taking a picture of my vagina just to learn something.
Just to learn
that, it could be anything.
Yes, that's the thing, is because like, then what? Then I tell you what it's about. What if that you do that and then I'm like, oh, the secret club is where we have to murder somebody once a week. Then you'd be like, no, thank you, I don't want to be in it. Can I have my naked picture back? And they'd be like, no, sorry, I already told you about it. Like, it's, Again, I feel terrible. I'm not making fun of anybody who was involved, only Keith. Keith is a piece of shit. But it is that thing of like, I don't want to know anything that bad. I don't need any information that badly that I'm going to give you some of that shit up front.
Yeah. And like, obviously, like, he's convicted and basically was charged with being a part of this entire weird scheme, because it's like, I mean, I, on a fundamental level, it's like, sure, there are tons of like secret societies, and there's tons of organizations that have like little hazing rituals and this kind of bullshit, but not to like this fucking level. And let me tell you something else too. Like, the idea of like having to pay anything. Yes. Like, one of the things that I read, I think it's in Going Clear. Is that the book, the Lawrence Wright book?
Yes.
About Scientology?
Yes, it rules.
Is that the whole idea behind like a cult, right? Or like something that is something like Scientology or NXIVM, is this idea that you have to pay people for knowledge about what you're in.
Yes.
Right? So if you like go to school and, you know, you like learn about, you know, the 50 states or whatever, right? You don't like, in order to learn about like Hawaii, you have to pay an extra like $50. Yes. Or something. You know, see, what I mean?
No, I agree. I mean, that's why I know there are some people like all religions are cults, but like they're not. I mean, they're really not. That's, I always say, it's like, if you go to a Catholic church or a Christian church, if you go to temple, like they don't make you pay before you walk in the door. They don't. You're supposed to tithe or whatever, but I'm saying you can walk into any church for free. You're right. It's like, you don't have to pay like an extra $1,000 to read the Bible.
Right. Or you don't have to give collateral in order to know about what you're about
yes.
to do.
Yes. You know, you don't go to like temple and they're like, you, yeah, give us incriminating something before we tell you about Hanukkah or whatever. Like, exactly. It's like, you just, so that's what I'm saying. It's like that already. And yes, the thing also with Scientology is you're paying like thousands upon thousands of dollars for these classes, which again, I'm like, wouldn't you at some point, it's so circular. It's such a circle jerk, because you're just all sitting around talking about your goals or yeah. talking about bettering yourself. And then again, after months of that, wouldn't you be like, hey, I'd like to go do my goal now. Like, can I leave? And I don't understand. I really hate the idea that growth. They also said this. They were always like, he especially, you were always supposed to be in a state of like pain or a state of struggle or a state right. of, it's like, if you're not sad, if you don't feel pain, if you don't feel this, then you're not growing. And it's like, so let me get this straight. Your awesome teachings about how to better myself is I'm supposed to constantly be miserable. Like, that's proving how good I am at life. If I'm like never happy or never comfortable. Like, right. I hate that kind of shit of being like, if you're not on your grind 24 hours a day, like, you're not evolving or growing as a person. It's like, oh, cool. So I'm just supposed to just, that's my life. That's supposed to be my entire life. I'm never supposed to enjoy it. I'm never supposed to stop and be like, hey, I feel happy right now.
Well, and like that's, I guess, again, it's all part of this con. It's just keep it going at any cost. You know what I mean? Just make yeah. people think that they're constantly crazy and they constantly need to improve yes. and they will pay for the experience to do that. They will constantly give us their, you know, faith, their faithfulness or whatever, because it's like a hole that doesn't have a bottom. You know
exactly.
What I mean?
Exactly. Exactly. Cause then you really are miserable all the time. Like if you go up to me and you're like, hey, Vanguard, what's up? I feel super terrible all the time and stressed out. Like they were all, it's like, I'm really stressed. I'm really struggling. Then they flip it and go, that means you're doing it right. That means you're growing. That means you're like, a better person.
Am I? I mean, I don't know. At a certain point, see, I don't know. Listen, I'm going to get completely honest. Like there were times when I was watching these documentaries or listening to this podcast where I would think like, I could get it. I could have done this. Like that could have been me. I could have been.
You would have joined NXIVM.
Well, if it was presented in a very specific way, I probably would have, maybe to a certain degree. But when it comes down to it, I'm cheap as fuck. And paying for classes ate my bag.
So I don't think you would have. I don't see you joining NXIVM, dude.
Well, I don't know. I think about things. Well, first of all, there's two levels to this, because there's number one, like, I don't know. I think maybe in my older life, like, sure, I love knowledge. I love to self-discovery. I'm a seeker to a certain degree. Like, I can't fault people for wanting to know more about themselves. That's why people want to go to therapy. That's why people go to fucking sound baths and go get their fucking chakras aligned. I'm totally into that shit. So there's a point, though, where I would be like, yo, am I buying? This is too much of a financial investment. That's where they'll, if a cult was free, fuck, I'd be there all day, every day.
Okay. But okay.
It's here, like the cost of it.
There are free cults. I think there are. Remember that Speedo guy cult? I think it was free. You just got to clean the house with a toothbrush.
Yo, you had to be hot to be in that cult, though.
Let's, dude, you could be in that cult. Wasn't it free? Wasn't it like y'all can live in this house as long as you like clean it all day, every day? Would you do that kind of shit?
Yeah, but you had to wear bathing suits and shit. I would never do that. Like, I'd never be in a bathing suit cult. Come on. At a certain point, I'd be like, yo, I'm not wearing Speedos.
Okay, I think he was the only one wearing Speedos, but I'm saying, okay, then let's say Nexium is free. Nexium is free, except you just have to clean a Keys townhouse. Well, are you down?
That's the second part to this, is that, so I remember being in my like late 20s, maybe early 30s. That is, I think, a sweet spot for a lot of women. I won't say every woman, or maybe not even women. I think everybody. They're in a moment where they're like thinking about like marriage, or maybe thinking about like partnership in a really intense way, right?
Sure.
And for me, when I was in my late 20s, early 30s, I fucking loved older guys. And I thought that they, especially the ones that were like sensitive and interesting and liked all the shit that I liked and they seemed smart, I would have followed them. Like, I would have followed them.
Oh, the fake sensitivos will get you.
Oh my God, totally. I mean, dude, when I was obsessed with a guy that was like 12 years older than me when I was in my late 20s. And I mean, it very similarly, I was like, I sought a lot of his knowledge and his experience. And, you know, I just like sit around and like listen to him talk. And fucking, he told me to read books, I'd go read the fucking books. And right. Just because at that age, I just wanted an older guy who I thought was just not like the guys my age, not like dipshits who were drinking and fucking being stupid. Like, he seemed to be like some elevated dude.
Yeah.
Right. But now at this age, in my mid 40s, I'm like, fuck that guy. He is a manipulator.
Oh, piece of like, shit. Completely. You know, but do I mean? You think at the time, if he would have been like taking it even for, like, if he would have turned weird, like, would you have followed? Like, if he would have been like, hey, will you clean my house? Hey, will you, you know, not necessarily like, I mean, this is like pre-internet, so there isn't like dick pics and naked pics really.
Right.
But like, if he got weird, do you think he would have got weird?
I mean, I would say from this vantage point, I'd be like, no. But at the time, at the time, I did not have the self-esteem or the self-knowledge to know that all that stuff was fucked up. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure that I would not join DOS. Let me just put it that way. I would not have done that. Because again, I'm very wary of like joining things and stuff. So I'm just like, and especially if it relates to money. So I'm like, I probably wouldn't have gone to that level. But if I probably would have been in a couple of fucking volleyball games. Not going to lie. I probably would have sat there and been like, waiting for the dude to come talk to me.
Yeah, but do you now looking back, do you realize, don't you think that he was like, all the wisdom that you kind of assigned to him, don't you think that it was complete projection where you're like, that guy wasn't that wise?
No. Look, I wanted so little at that moment, like that I also, I mean, I played myself, but then I allowed myself to get played. Like, it's the thing where I was just like, and this is just my perspective. It's totally different for different people. For me, I felt like it was absolutely fucking perfect storm of shit. It's basically like me being impressionable and wanting so badly to have an older guy fucking want to date me and talk to me and think that I'm special. And then a guy that age knowing that he can do that to a girl that's a lot younger than him.
Yes.
You know, and like, and also knowing that I am not smart enough to know that that's bullshit, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And like I've found how dangerously easy it is to like if somebody has good intentions, like obviously you and I, like I like to think of myself as a good person. Yes. So how crazy it is that it can be flipped. Like I said, if your reaction to something is perfectly reasonable and then the other person can go, you're being unreasonable. That's not what a good person would do. And then you start to go, oh my gosh, are they right? Maybe I'm not a good person. It's crazy how easy that is to do.
No, and here, and listen, bottom line, and this is why ultimately I just really do feel for people who were in his path of destruction. Like, people want to be loved and people want to be seen and people want to be understood. And, you know, that is like such a base fucking instinct. And especially for certain women, and especially for me, like, if a guy at that age talked to me at all, it was a fucking absolute joy.
Of course.
And that if he would have actually taken a shine to me and made me and singled me out and made me feel very seen and special, and he understood what I was talking about, and even if he was asking me bullshit questions just to further the conversation, I was fucking all in on that shit. And there are times today where I feel like that is just very intoxicating, powerful shit, like that kind of thing.
Oh yeah, if you feel like you're being listened to, that's like an easy trap to fall in. But with him, it's like looking back, like watching the, I also love that he had everything recorded, because he himself was like, hey, you guys all need to record me because everything I say is amazing. And like future generations are going to need it. And then you watch it and you're going, I can't think of anything less wise than this guy. He's such a fucking dipshit. And I cannot stand the way that he says things. Like, he gives it such gravitas. Like, he'll say the most completely anodyne thing and be like, yeah, like the tone of voice that he says it in is like, right, I'm blowing minds. You know what I mean? It's just so average.
Well, and that's the thing, ultimately, that actually fucked him in the end. Yes. Is his stupid bullshit of wanting to tape himself, because he thought he was gonna like throw some gems out there, and he's like, you gotta film me at all times, because what if this is fucking good shit, we need constant b-roll.
Yes. Of me just like walking around. I think about what would have happened if this had not been stopped, because like his goal, because he is like, hey, everybody record every single word that comes out of my mouth because I'm such a genius. Right. So it's like, what if that worked and say like millions of people started listening to him? And we're like, this guy's the greatest. Like, how far did he think it was going to go? Did he think he was going to be like king of America or something? Like, I don't even understand the logistics. Like you were saying about the dorkiness. Like, I think a quest for power is like the dorkiest thing you can possibly have. Cause it's just like, who cares? You want to be the boss of everyone? Cool. Like, you total dork. Like, who cares? Right. And so that idea to me is so painfully dorky. And so it is like, what was your goal, dude? That like everyone on earth watched tapes of you fucking doing volleyball and going like, yes, he's the guy. Like, what did you think was going to be the end game? I don't understand.
Yeah. I got to be honest, because I guess he saw himself like a Gandhi or something. Like, he just really saw himself as
that's our president,
like,
President Ranieri playing volleyball. We love him. Say the pledge.
But even like loftier than president, he wanted to be like a spiritual, like a fucking, like the Dalai Lama, like that whole thing with the Dalai Lama when he came to visit him and all that stuff. And it felt like, the Dalai Lama had a lot of shit going on and was like, just meet with these folks. It's fine. Just, we don't really know what they believe in, but just go and see him. And of course, like, he shows up in his fucking bad jeans to meet the Dalai Lama.
Listen, let me ask you this. Let's get real. Do you know, other than anything Beastie Boys adjacent, what the Dalai Lama does? I do not. Like, what's his 9-to-5?
Do not ask me this question.
What's he doing all day? I literally know nothing.
He takes meetings.
That's what I'm saying. That's why I'm like, did the Dalai Lama, first of all, did you not remember how one of those sisters banged one of the Dalai Lama's dudes?
Oh, no. But
which I didn't know was allowed.
Say that they banged the Dalai Lama.
No, it was one of his dudes. And I was sort of like, okay, so the Dalai Lama has like secretaries that are like, hey, just go meet with these guys. And he says, okay. And then just goes and meets with people.
Wait a minute. What are you telling me right now? I don't know about this story. Who's?
Yeah.
The sisters.
Yeah. The Bronfmans.
A Bronfman?
Yes. One of them banged one of the Dalai Lama's guys.
Are you joking right now? I didn't know that at all.
No, dude. It's in one of the docs.
Whoa.
Which I was like, I didn't know. Is the Dalai Lama allowed to have sex?
I don't know. I'd have to look him up on Wikipedia.
Are we offended? I don't know if this is even offensive.
I don't know. I don't know, to be honest. I'd have to look it up.
I swear to God, all I know is that like he got his picture taken with the Beastie Boys a lot. And I was always like, is he in, like, I didn't know what they were. Were they going like free the Dalai Lama? Was he not free? I don't know what they were saying.
I don't have to look it up. I wonder if Keith, who is a constant Wikipedia editor,
yes,
has weighed in on his Wikipedia.
What if the first line of the Dalai Lama's is he is best friends with Keith Raniere?
Best friend to Keith Raniere. He's a spiritual leader. I don't know. Let's see. What's the vibe? What's the vibe?
What's the Dalai Lama's vibe?
What are the rules? What are the rules? But it's like the Pope. He's like the Pope, I think, is what it seems. Because there's been like 14.
Right, but them. The Pope is the head. Okay, here we go. You're Catholic. The Pope is the head of the Catholic Church? The
Pretty
boss
much.
Of it?
Yes.
So what church, what religion is the Dalai Lama the boss of?
Tibetan Buddhism.
Oh, so he's like the Pope of Buddhism?
I believe so. It's a Dalai Lama is the title given by the Tibetan people to the foremost spiritual leader of the Yellow Hat School of Tibetan Buddhism.
Okay. Wow.
The 14th and current Dalai Lama is Tenzin Gyatso, who lives as a refugee in India.
Honestly, I forgot the other knowledge and education I have about the Dalai Lama is from the Mr. Show sketch. What's the dealy, Dolly? Like, so I do know that.
You need to get on this Wikipedia tonight and get you some knowledge about
Bob Odenkirk once played the Dalai Lama. Okay, so
now, I'm not seeing where they can bone though.
It wasn't him, remember? It was one of his like henchmen.
Right. Well, I mean, look, I feel like now I'm trying to think about the Catholic Pope. The Catholic Pope can't bone, but neither can priests. So nobody's boning in the Catholic Church.
Who does people are allowed to have
sex? They're not
sex,
supposed
right?
to, even though we know that they do. So
who does people are allowed to have sex?
Yeah, I don't really know I don't know much about the religion, unfortunately. All I know is that I did not know that about the sisters. At all.
Yeah, well, that was the thing. And so I also just didn't understand the why, like, you know how Keith, like, meeting the Dalai Lama is he was trying to be like, see, that means I'm legit. See, if this guy will meet me, that means I'm not a creep. And so I was like, who's vetting who's meeting the Dalai Lama? Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes,
like, can you just write to the Dalai Lama and be like, hey, dude, can I come meet you? And he's just like, yeah, sure. No questions asked.
Yeah, basically, it felt like that whole section of the documentaries was like, they were basically trying to get this guy to come and hang out with them. And they were like, just get him. Like, don't tell him anything about
yes.
us. Just get him to come hang out with
yes.
us.
Yes.
In this very desperate way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, that's what I'm saying. So I'm like, the Dalai Lama didn't have any like vetting questions. He just got on a plane, like, cool, let's do this. And then gets well, there like, oh, hey, dude.
Well, apparently, like, at the like maybe they tried at one point and then he said no, because he was like, I don't know what y'all are really about. But then they tried again. because yeah. they're persistent as fuck. And then he actually hung out with them. And then it was the kind of thing where it's like, hey, can we get a picture with you? And then all of a sudden it's like, look who came to learn about us.
Yes.
The Dalai Lama wants yes. to be in our group. I'm like, nah, dude, y'all like hard sold him on some shit. Come on.
Yeah, so that was crazy. And then it's like, ultimately, I would love to have been able to pin down his beliefs, because that was the thing, is that like, I never got a concise, you know, if you ask somebody like, what does Nexium believe in? It feels like they would just be like, achieving your goals. And it's like, yeah, no shit. Like, who doesn't want to do that? Like, you don't need to like join a club to be like, I like achieving goals. It's great. We all want to do it. Like, I didn't get how that was. I never got a concise answer for whatever it is was the core belief of this thing.
Right.
It just seemed like a generic, like, do your dreams and goals. And I'm like, yeah, okay, I will. Like, I just, all the wisdom, they're just like, God, he was so wise and so charismatic and amazing. And I'm telling you, every shot of every documentary is either him playing volleyball or laying on a couch in a filthy townhouse while women like rub his feet.
Well, I mean, like, look, dude, it's like, it's just like every arrogant dude, right? He's yes. basically like, what's the least amount of things I can do in order to get women to talk to me?
Yes.
You know? And that's what he was doing. He was basically just like, yo, I'm just going to wear this like Nike running shirt with some big ass pants. My favorite
was it would either be a polo. Sometimes it'd be like a straight up like Ralph Lauren polo, but then with basketball shorts to play volleyball in. That was his volleyball uniform.
Yeah. And like, man, I got to tell you, like the whole early sections of footage of when he had like the long hair or like the shoulder length hair. Dude,
he's the dorkiest looking dude in the universe. Like, and again, I have no, this is all punching up to me. Like, fuck this dude. I don't feel bad for anything I'm saying. This guy is a terrible human being who just exists to prey upon people. Like, that was the thing, is when I was watching it, I was thinking, I was like, is he a narcissist or is he a psychopath? Because those are two different things. I think he's a psychopath.
Well, tell me, how is it different? How is it different?
You apparently can't be both. You have to be one or the other, because a narcissist, I don't know how to condense it, but apparently a psychopath has just like zero feelings. Like a psychopath okay. is just like, humans have no worth. They have no feelings. They don't care about anything. Like, they just don't care. Like, they can kill you and feel nothing.
Okay.
Whereas narcissists feel shame. They feel like they have to hide. Like, they don't really have a personality and they're always hiding and always afraid of being exposed for who they are and like that kind of shit. Whereas a psychopath is like, I don't care about anything or anyone.
So basically, like, a narcissist still feels like there are stakes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
A psychopath is like, fuck it. Like, mask off. Like, I do what I want. Yeah. I don't give a shit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
And it's like, after the stories of, I mean, he seems that way because, you know how there's all these shady stories about women dying around him. And it's just like, he felt nothing, cared nothing for any of them. Like, I think that's probably likely that that's what he, what do I know? I'm an idiot. I don't even know what the Dalai Lama does for a living. So what do I fucking know? But just from like the stuff that I've read and following up with this, because I've also watched all those docs. And then I listened to, another thing that was great is I listened to India Oxenberg on the podcast that Sarah and Nippy do. And she was saying how he used to have women, all these women were doing his bidding, right? Like, DOS were all his slaves. It was a pyramid scheme of slaves that he, and like Allison Mack was the second command. And he could not only just sex things, but they had to do all kinds of shit. Like, anything they asked them to do, they had to do it. And she was saying that most of the women would read books and then tell him what the book was about. And then he would go on stage as Vanguard and like talk about the book and how great it is and how wise. And it's just like, of course you didn't even do that work. Of course, women did that for you.
Dude, that is rough. Like, having to read a book for a guy that doesn't want to read a book. I'd be like,
yeah, it's like,
fuck you.
You're making other adults do a fucking book report for you while you get up being like, hello, I'm the wise and mighty Vanguard. And I'm going to give you the cliff notes of this book that like this lady just read for me.
Dude,
I was like, if all y'all are having slaves and doing all these chores, it's like, you need to get somebody over to clean your townhouse. Like, why is that not like chore number one for your DOS slave?
I feel like people were cleaning his damn townhouse. I feel like if we would have just watched a little bit more footage, we would have seen somebody like basically using fucking Mr. Clean Magic Eraser on that toilet. Like,
also, India said in that podcast that she lied a bunch, though, that there were times that she would text and be like, yeah, I'm definitely doing that. And she's not. She wasn't doing it.
Yeah. Oh,
she's good, which is great. But I'm just saying, she said she even had glimmers, even in the depths of it. There were times she's like, what is happening? This sucks. What are we talking about? This is idiotic. Oh, and yeah, also thinking Keith was gross. She was like, yo, he was gross as hell. Like, I hated it when he touched me. I was like, yeah, of course.
Look, I mean, like I said, I feel like I have been enchanted and mystified by the dumbest dudes of all time. Yeah, like, I really have. Like, in my life, I'm like, I have chased the stupidest rabbits down the stupidest holes.
Yes.
And I feel like, you know, at a certain point, there's like a pattern of like the women that he was interested in or wanted to kiss on the lips all the time.
All
the same type of woman. Like, they all look the same. They were all basically like, you know, thin brunettes, except, you know, with the exception of maybe Allison Mack in India, right?
Blondes. I'm not going anywhere where everyone kisses on the lips all the time. Get the fuck out of here with that.
Yeah, that was such a fucking power move, dude. I was like, yo, that is a power move.
Yeah,
like,
he even did it to the dudes.
Yeah, even the dudes.
That's just germy, man. I don't want anyone. I'm not kissing you on the lips after you just kissed 50 people on the lips.
Germs. Yeah, I feel like, look, I mean, I come from kissy huggy cultures, and even I'm like, I don't kiss people on the lips all willy nilly. Like, I gotta like you, and I gotta really like you, and it's definitely not because I'm deferring to you. Like, basically being like, yo, my coach, my boss. I'm not kissing my coach or boss on the lips, dude.
Also, like, speaking of deferring, I every time this guy got any attention, any praise, whatever, I fucking hated it. Like, towards the end of watching both seasons of The Vow, I started to like clench my fists whenever this dude was on screen because I just hated him so much. And I hate the personality type and I hate the smugness, obviously, in the manipulate. I mean, he's a psychopath. It's like, what is there to like? I don't think he has any redeeming qualities. But watching him when they had their V week, right, which was like their summer camp, and they all are performing for him. And it's like all these grown ass adults being like, hey, I'm doing a tap dance for Vanguard. And like, he's sitting back smugly like, yes, this is all for me. Like, I wanted to fucking throw a rock at my TV. I just was so angry the fact that he got that kind of admiration and, you know, yeah, just the smugness.
They gave him like 12 birthday cakes.
Thank you.
Did you see that part where he's like blowing out the candles on all his birthday cakes? I'm like, what a fucking bitch. Like, it's like, oh, get me 12 birthday cakes.
12 and like pies. I think they were like birthday pies in the mix. I'm serious. Oh, dude, I was mad at that because I was like, I want multiple birthday cakes in general, like to eat on birthday days because I just want to eat cake. But like, yeah, exactly. They're like,
I known you could ask for multiple birthday cakes and pies. I'd be like out here asking all my friends, being like,
he had a birthday cake buffet, dude. That is fucked up. I hate him.
Also, how shitty is it to like maybe have walked away from this organization knowing that at one point you performed a bluesy spiritual hymn to celebrate a dude? Like, to have gotten in front of a bunch of people and like sang your most like Mariah Carey ass.
Yes.
Melismatic fucking.
Yes.
Him. For a guy's birthday.
Yeah. A guy in a polo shirt and basketball shorts. I'm like, if you're the Vanguard, can you just roll up in there at least a tuxedo? Bare men's a suit. Wear a suit, dude. Wear a suit and tie. If we're calling you Vanguard, you can wear a tie. Also, everyone's barefoot. Like, I guess I want some pomp and circumstance in my cult. If you're giving yourself a title and you're wearing sashes, don't come in here in fucking Air Jordan basketball shorts. Absolutely not.
Yeah. I mean, listen, even the fucking dude from Holy Hell was in those Speedos.
Yes.
That was a little bit of show. That was showing something.
Yes.
Like,
did he wear a bow tie?
And he was just
like, did he wear a bow tie and a Speedo and that's it? Did he? Like Chippendales?
He had a bow tie, dude. He wasn't a Chippendales performer.
I joined the Chippendales cult. Or like the Magic Mike cult.
I mean, I would too, no lie. But I'm just saying that, like, I feel like there was, like, the levels of devotion that were in those documentaries of people, like, performing for him. And, like, I swear to God, I saw, like, Allison Mack was, like, up on stage.
Crying.
Like, tears on her face. Yes. Like, how do I say goodbye? Yeah. Like,
it wait was, a
like,
some... Were you about to sing Boys to Men?
I was just trying to think the most. What is the most...
It's so what is hard the most... to say sad song? To keep...
The volleyball that made us laugh. Oh, we will
I'm the bass guy.
And I will take
with me the memories of playing volleyball at midnight. Are we gonna
I'm walking in the middle of the night at 4 a.m.
Are we gonna get sued for the rights to It's So Hard to Say Goodbye to Vanguard?
Listen, and listen, again, it has to be stated. Like, obviously, you know, this shit was real serious for people and it ruined people's lives.
Ruined lives. Like, yeah.
It truly did. And, like, we're not suggesting or making fun of that. I'm saying that you widen out the scope of what essentially this guy created and forced people to do. And it's fucking absurd. Like, it's absurd because he suggested it. Not that, like, people were, like, you know, indoctrinated heavily and basically, like, you know what I mean? That part we're not talking about. We're talking about just, like, the audacity of some stupid dude to have put people through the stupid shit. Like, he, like, his plan, his, like, plan to be the new Dalai Lama was so terrible and corny and
had, right.
You know,
well, it's also looking back on something when you're out of it, like speaking from personal experience, I'm definitely not making fun of these people because having gone through what I've gone through, I get it. I see how easy it is to be manipulated. It's right. Fucking tough. But like when you're in the thick of it, these people can make nonsensical things make sense or right. Trick you into thinking they're making sense. And then once you get out of it and you look, you're like, all of that was so, what are you talking about? Like you. It's absurd now looking back going, how did I ever believe that or think that? So yeah, I'm not making fun of them at all, but it's like.
But what is it though? Like just maybe speaking objectively.
Yes, this is definitely a hypothetical and I'm making this up and I don't know. Like I said, if you're somebody who, this is how my personal experience that is hypothetical is, if you are somebody with empathy and you're dealing with somebody who has zero, that's so easy to be turned around on you. Because like I said, my desire, I never want to like hurt somebody's feelings. I don't want to be a bad person. So if I'm, for example, if I am talking to you and I say something that I think is totally normal and banal, and I'm just like, you know, whatever. If I say the sky is blue and you go, you better never say that again. That hurts my feelings when you say that. And you're a terrible person for saying that. And you better never say it to me again. Of course, immediately you go, wait, what? That's a normal thing to say. But if you hear that enough, you start to think, well, I don't want to hurt this person's feelings, so I will eliminate this from my vocabulary. I will no longer say the sky is blue because I know it hurts this person's feelings. Right? That doesn't make any sense. That doesn't make any sense. On paper, you're like, why would that hurt that person's feelings? But if they tell you it does enough times, you start to go, okay, I won't say it again. And so if you keep doing that and you keep doing that, you keep doing that, you keep adding that to the list and you keep adding things to the list of what is not okay to say around this person. Like, that's how it works. That's how it works because I'm willing to make concessions to you. You're my friend. If you tell me something hurts your feelings, then I'll go, well, I won't say it again since it hurts your feelings. I don't want to do that. And you can then control me by limiting the things I'm allowed to say when I'm around you. do almost nothing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I totally agree. I definitely understand that. I also feel like, too, though, I think you have to really like that person and you have to really want to make that person happy. It isn't just in a vacuum where you're like a dude at the gas station on the street or whatever. I feel like this is the beginning part of it where there's like somebody who's basically being like trying to form this like deep bond with you
it's all of the I narrowed that down by like hurting. It's all the emotions. So it's like you do that by saying, well, that hurts my feelings. And then you go, don't do that. That makes me angry. And you don't want to make me angry, right? No, of course I don't. So I'll stop doing that. And then, you know, you can narrow a person's behaviors down to like exactly what you want them to do and say at all times because you've taken out all of the options.
Right.
So yeah, a person who cares about you, they're going to go, well, I don't want to upset you. And you've told me all of these things that upset you. So I won't do them anymore. So therefore your behavior becomes like this very limited amount of things you can do and say without upsetting or, you know, having the person go off on you or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
And
but
flipping it where they do something to you and you say, okay, well, that hurts my feelings. And then they go, well, you need to work on that. That must mean that you aren't an evolved person or you're a weak person or you're a selfish person. And then you go, oh, well, shit, I don't want to be a selfish person. So I guess I will work on it. And then it becomes put up with whatever they do because they've told you it's your fault if you have a normal reaction to it.
Yeah, but I feel like at a certain point, like these folks were all in before that. You know, like they were kind of already indoctrinated before it got to that point. You know what I mean? And that to me is interesting because I feel like that does play upon people's desires to be loved and seen and, you know, that kind of thing. Because you think like, over time, wouldn't they have just like snapped out of it and been like, I can't be wrong all the time. I don't even want to be wrong all the time. I don't want to feel this bad all the time about myself.
But they've been tricked. They've been tricked into thinking that being, quote, wrong all the time is a state of growth. You must be growing. If you feel wrong all the time, that's because you're growing as a person. It's difficult. It's hard. All that pain is because you're growing. When it's really like, no, it's because you fucking yell at me all the time that I'm doing everything wrong.
Right. But at some point they have made the decision in their heads to be like, well, this person is somebody that I'm willing to walk this path with.
Yes.
Right. Because, you know, and that I think is like the most damaging part is at the very beginning when it's the honeymoon phase or whatever. You know what I mean? And at that point, I feel like the foundation for all that shit gets really laid because you're basically like, come on in. Like, you know, it's so fun here. We do all these cool things. Like you're going to meet all these amazing people. You're going to grow. It's going to be like this wonderful environment for you to be like completely vulnerable and emotionally naked. And we're all in it together. Like we're all broken, fucked up, you know, blah, 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 blah. And then that shit gets pulled.
Well, and then you have like the sunk cost fallacy thing of like, well, I've already been here for however many years. I've already spent however many thousands. So it's like they get you. You're in there a year, 2 years, and then they introduce night volleyball. And you go, well, I guess I got to do this. I've already been here 2 years. What, am I going to quit now?
No, 100%.
Yeah.
I thought about that too when I was watching the documentaries. I was like, oh, sure. Like all these people are like, well, I can't turn back now. It's already like, there's been too much, like too much time, too much money.
Yeah,
too much sacrifice and, you know, whatever. I totally understand that from, you know, from that point of view. So, yeah. I mean, to me, I feel like, again, I feel like it's, I don't know anything about the people who would join this. It's really just mostly about, like, Keith being the most manipulative and...
Yes.
You know, because it's kind of his architecture. The whole thing is his architecture. Even though what I think was really interesting about the second season was that we heard from Nancy, which was that whole thing where that was a question that kept like sitting in the back of my mind being like, well, where's she at? Where's she at with all this? But then the second season when she's like, well, guess what? Like, we boned too. And he said shit to me too. And I was like, yo, my mind is blown. My mind is blown.
But again, I just am obsessed with how these things begin. I'm obsessed with how he met her, talked to her, was like, listen, you do the NLP shit. I do the, I don't know, philosophy, whatever he calls himself. And then going, let's fucking start a business, lady. Let's do this. And she's like, yes. Like, I'm so obsessed with like-minded people in that weird way, finding each other. Because like I said, how do you go from like a dude screaming crazy shit on the street to then being, he's no different than a guy on a street corner who like says crazy shit. And everyone instead just goes, oh, yes, very wise. So it's like the idea that he met this lady and then was like, let's start this. Let's start the executive success programs, which is like the dumbest name ever, by the way, which that alone, if somebody was like, hey, go to this executive success, I'd be like, I'm not an executive. Like, what? It sounds like such a business minded thing that I'm like, I don't own a business. Why would I go to this?
Well, so, but also like a lot of people, though, are like interested in success, like people that, I mean,
but all they did was talk.
I'm not interested in success. No, I'm kidding. But you know,
I guess I'm not either. I'm not interested in the traditional, like, I don't care about being a CEO or like a fucking mover and shaker. But like, I'm like, when is the success happening? All y'all do is talk in these classes. I'm like, show me some successes. I don't know any. They didn't have anyone being like, here's my success that I did. And then they show it and they go, I own a business now, or I starred in a movie or whatever. It's like, I saw no tangible shit at all.
Well, I think the episode of The Vow about the people with Tourette syndrome was like,
that was counts.
The whole, I mean, to me, cause I kept thinking that too, honestly, like when I was like, where are the success stories? Where are the people? I mean, there was people saying, oh, it changed my life, but I guess.
Yes,
I just,
but they never said how.
We weren't hearing about it.
Yeah, you know? They were just going, it changed my life, but like zero details.
Right. Well, and like that is, I think, like it was a good episode to watch because it did remind you in a weird way that there are people who are like, the reason why they're in like Lock, Stock and Barrel is because of this. You know what I mean? Because before it was just sort of like, it was sort of, you know, a concept that we knew there were people who were in it still and that were kind of his supporters, but we didn't know why, almost beyond thinking, oh, maybe they're just brainwashed or whatever. But then you're like, oh, okay, well, here's this episode where there's these people that feel like they got really helped by this thing. And so it makes sense that they would be in it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So,
yeah. I mean, like coercive control is like real as shit. And I also very much understand being in something and going, well, how much worse is it going to be once I leave? That's like real as shit. Like, even if you're in the middle of it and you're like, this really sucks. This is really terrible and scary and I hate it. But if I leave, it might be 5 times worse than this. I get that. And I also get, because it's like that Keith guy is super vengeful too. And he like, you know, remember that one girl who was like his first serious girlfriend and like how 20 years later he was still trying to like sue her and get her arrested and like ruin her credit and like taxes and like all this kind of crazy shit and just like never giving up. So it's like, I understand being in a position where you're like, I guess I should just put up with this because it might not be as bad as what happens once I actually leave, you know? So that threat's always there too. Yeah. It's some sinister shit, man. It's just, it's so crazy when, you know, you think if you would have heard all of these descriptions, you would think they would cut away to somebody who looked like a Bond villain or something. And then that's like the first time they showed Keith, I was like, what? This dude would have just gotten his ass kicked in our high school. And like, this is the guy running things.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it's kind of like, again, I think that's why people were kind of like, what? Like, I guess like he just seemed unassuming. But that is like the thing about, oh, God. I think that's the most infuriating part is that this is a guy that wants so much power and so much like prestige, and he wants to manipulate people, and he's like kind of just a boring dude. He's like a boring middle-aged dude.
Boring and dorky and dumb and like somehow got all this power, and I hate it, and the world is unjust. I also am obsessed just like with Scientology, of the idea of coming up with like fake curriculum. Like, I loved that. You know how I just am like into official things, and it's like when we were kids and we would make like fake businesses. Like, that's what it feels like. Like, it feels like Keith and Nancy and even the Orgasm Ink lady, like, it's like they're making up worksheets and like photocopying them on my mom's copier at her office, where they're just like, we made a class that you take, and here's the curriculum. Fill out your dittos about Nexium. You know what I'm saying? It's like,
yeah,
they gave each other different sashes. It's just like coming up with a fake college or something, and fake, like, once you take this class and you pass, then I'll give you a sash, and then you graduate. And I don't know. I'm just always fascinated by things that have zero accreditation and zero sort of like regulatory anything. It's like, if you go to a college or a university and stuff, it's like, you know, they're like governmental bodies that agree on the curriculum and say what you have to learn in order to get a certain degree and all this kind of stuff. And I just love the idea of Keith the fucking nerd having somebody else read books, tell him what the books are about, and then he's like, I'm gonna make a class about it, and then teaching a class where he doesn't actually say anything, and then is like, I'm the wisest of all of the men.
Yeah, we're in like such an age right now of like self-help and therapy and discovery, and you know, and most of it's positive. I mean, it's like, do I want to live in a world where people like know themselves more? Yes, I think that's a really good positive thing.
Yeah, but isn't that therapy? That's not self-help, that's like therapy. That's therapeutic.
Well, I'm just saying, I feel like the willingness to go down those roads exists more now than it ever did in my lifetime. Like, my right. parents don't believe in therapy. Like, I never grew up with this idea that I should ever go to therapy or anything. Sure. And I feel like now, like, we're in an age where that's very accepted. And I think it has made people better for the most part. Like, I feel like the willingness to discover yourself is good. Right.
Yes.
But I feel like now, there's now just an industry that is able to exist that will monetize that kind of thing. And there is, it's, and it's very weird. And I mean, it's kind of the whole thing with Goop, which people talk about Goop a lot, where it's just sort of like, okay, so I started a business where like certain pseudoscience-y stuff or certain things that could be doing something good, but no one can prove it type of thing. And it's just like, you're basically banking on people's like curiosity or willingness to like try something, right? And that's kind of what I feel like the Orgasm Ink stuff, the Nexium stuff, is just like, now self-help businesses are popular and proliferating because we're in an age where people want to do those things more. You know what I mean? So I'm just sort of like, I don't know. To me, I, like I said, the money thing is such a fucking pain point for me, where I'm like, I can never pay. Like, I'm like, I don't even, like, sometimes I go and think and look up massage prices, and I'm like, do I even want to get a massage and pay this much money for a massage? Sure. Let alone a fucking EM or whatever the fuck. Yeah, you know what I mean?
But would you, okay, I feel kind of I'm like so cynical now about, because I feel like something as simple as helping somebody, quote, reach their goals, right?
Right.
I'm sort of like, if it ain't been invented yet, it ain't happening. Like, wouldn't we have figured out after thousands of years of civilization by now how to, like, get your goals achieved? Like, that's a thing of, are you lazy or are you not lazy? Or do you really want to do this or do you not want to do this? Like, to me, that seems like a pretty simple thing. Hey, you made a goal. What's your goal? To run a marathon? Cool. Well, you better get running. You got to run a lot. The end. Like, I don't think there's any like secret or class that you could take that's going to make you do that more.
Yeah, I think it's more about people's like people feeling like they need help with the mental or emotional aspects of making decisions. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but that's like, therapy.
Yeah, I agree. I agree it's therapy, but it's also now that you don't need to go to a licensed therapist in order to get therapy anymore. Now, like, somebody the other day, I won't name names, but a friend of mine was trying to sell me on this idea of seeing a creative therapist.
Okay.
And it's basically like a therapist who helps you unlock creative potential. And it's basically like somebody that talks you, like if you said, I want to start a zine, I want to do a zine.
Sure.
You would go to your therapist each week and be like, they would give you the organizational skills to help you create scenes or start a band or work on a screenplay or whatever. They're not a licensed therapist. They're somebody who is like, I'm really good at creative stuff and I'm really good at like making art. So now that's a business for me, is that I get to like walk you through the idea of maybe you starting a band and you pay me for that.
You pay. So it is like talk there. It's a talk thing. Or are they like standing next to you going, here's physically how to do this?
No, it's kind of like a life coach. So basically you would come to the session, the first session, and be like, what do you want to do? I want to start a band. Okay, so why haven't you started a band? And then they walk through like all of the reasons why you haven't done it yet. And then they create a plan for you to do those things.
Okay.
So it is kind of like a life coach, but it's called something fancy and it's called something different. But do you know what I mean? It's like, that never existed 20 years ago, or, you know, maybe it did, but we didn't hear about it. But now it's like all people that I know were going to places like this.
Sure.
You know what I mean? So I feel like that's changed. I mean, I think it's interesting that people want to make them like, I think it's great that now people want to be in bands and do zines and all this stuff. But I just think now there's like, there seems to have now been this industry that sprung up to help people do that kind of stuff to better themselves. And a lot of it could be bullshit. A lot of it could be weird people like Keith. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, I guess it's like, I don't know. I'm not trying to let, I guess that's different to me than if you had a class, like the setup of something of Nexium, like a life coach, I guess is different because that just sounds like encouragement. Like it sounds like a cheerleader. It sounds like somebody standing with you going, you can do it. You can do it or whatever. Whereas this is just what I have. I have zero goals at the moment. My goal is to wake up in the morning every day and get out of bed. That's my current goal. And I've been reaching it. But like I said, say it's to run a marathon, right? That's like a tangible goal. My goal is to run a marathon. Now, you know that means you have to train basically. But if I go to, if a Nexium type thing would be like, okay, if that's your goal and you want to reach it, you got to give us $5,000 and take 6 months of classes. And I'd be like, well, hold on a minute. That doesn't make any sense as far as even reaching my goal. Me sitting down and doing your weird curriculum that you just made up and you're not like a professor or a therapist or whatever. How is that? When I know that to do it, I have to like get outside and start running. Does that make any sense?
No, it does make sense, but it's a business that's designed to like, it goes deeper than that. It goes deeper than just getting a personal trainer and figuring out the fundamentals, the physical fundamentals on how to run.
Yeah.
It's more like, why can't you run? Why are you telling yourself you can't run? What in your childhood prevented you from running in the first place?
See, that's when I take the turn into like, well, that's a therapist.
Right. I'm just saying it's like the ways that these businesses can exist, why there is a Nexium, but it's that thing of like, yes, of course. Like these are absurd businesses to us because we think, why would anybody do that? Like, but there are people in this world now, especially that do want to pay for stuff like that. And I'm like, I have to tell myself, I don't know. Like, I'm not saying I don't want to cast judgment on folks necessarily, but it's that thing of like, well, I guess this is a thing to do. This is what people want to do. They want to really get to know themselves in these very specific, intricate ways. And they are willing to pay money and take classes and be a part of this whole organization. You know what I mean? And I just am like, it didn't exist when we were kids, I think. And it's just shocking to me that it.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know.
I'll teach somebody how to make a zine. You can pay me to be your zine coach. Everyone who's listening, I'll do it. It's pretty easy.
Well, you'd have to be like, you know, let's talk about the time when you were 8, when you were thinking about making a zine. Yeah. And then you stapled the zine wrong.
Yeah.
And
that blocked you. Yeah, exactly. That's blocked your creativity from then on.
Yeah. Shit. People would buy that. Why the hell not?
Maybe I should get a life coach. Maybe I'll get more done.
How do I have a life coach that tells me to not do things? I would like that. I would like a real chill, like surfer Matthew McConaughey guy to teach me how to not.
You should chill more?
Yes, to be just like straight up chill.
Fucking Keith, dude. How great is it that he's going to be in jail for the next century?
I think that's the kind of like happy ending, if there is a happy ending to it all, is that he got fucking convicted. Like that,
yeah,
was the
because
thing,
it seemed like his entire life, his entire, all he dedicated his life to was ruining the lives of women and terrorizing women.
Yeah.
Like that's, he just hates women and got off on making them miserable.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean,
and it was a difficult watch.
Yeah. Well, honestly, the entire documentaries, all of the podcasts, everything was really fascinating to me. I never heard about it. And, you know, ultimately, that's kind of like what I'm going on for all this, is just watching all of this stuff. Like, I thought The Vow was actually pretty, like people were like, what should I start? Like, a friend of mine was like, should I watch one over the other? I actually think both of them are good for their own things. They kind of both do separate things.
I agree. But Seduced is more like salacious details, and The Vow is kind of overall like broader strokes, but it was really well done. Also, even the clips that they showed, I'm like, he doesn't even seem that good at volleyball. How are you good at volleyball? Like, if you just spike it a lot?
What if he was the Serena Williams of indoor volleyball?
Yeah, but that's, volleyball's one of those things like bagpipes where I'm like, I don't know if somebody's doing it good. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like here in the UK, I hear bagpipes a lot, and I'm like, I don't know if this is good. I don't know if this person is practicing or if it's good. I think that a lot when I see bagpipes. I'm like, I guess he's doing it good because it's on TV, but like, I don't know if this is the warm up or not.
The only way you know that they're really good is when they actually play like a popular tune, but most of the time it's just,
yeah, exactly. Like, I don't recognize any of the tunes, so that's why I'm like, oh, I think this guy's warming up, and then they'll come on TV and it'll be like, that's Dougal McDougal, like the greatest bagpiper in the world. And I'm like, oh, whoops, yeah, I didn't know that was good.
That's like something that Keith should have got into to prove that he was a genius. Just this is like unprovable thing. Like, it's an unprovable thing. I mean, like, and he's also the greatest bagpipe.
I've mastered the bagpipes, and everyone's like, I guess.
It's immeasurable. We can't figure it out for a fact. So he must be the best.
The Guinness Book says I'm the best bagpiper. How would you measure that?
Because it could be like the longest.
I can play like Mary Had a Little Lamb on it, and everyone recognizes it. Therefore, I'm the greatest.
If it's like some Ying Wee Malmsteen fucking licks, like, bim, 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 I don't know.
On the bagpipe, she's like,
fucking free jazz shit. I don't know.
I can't imagine a worse noise than like freestyle bagpipes. But like Dragon Force riffs, but like on the bagpipes.
Feel these licks. Well, do you think we covered ground here with this episode?
I mean, as long as we put more terrible shit out there about Keith Raniere and fuck him forever, then yes, he's a terrible, awful person.
Yeah, he's going to be in jail for 120 years. Is that what his sentence is?
Rightfully so. I'm just tired of these men who are life ruiners. These smug men who are life ruiners who dedicate their time to ruining the lives of women.
I wholeheartedly agree.
Yes. What a cheerful comeback this has been.
Yep. This is just going to pop up in people's feeds and be like, let's talk about the hugest bastard of all
time. Let's make a real bummer of an ep. I think we achieved it. Yeah.
Well, I, for one, am glad to be back on the airwaves with you.
Yeah, dude. Hopefully, maybe we'll make fun of things more regularly.
Well, I'll just say it is good to be back with you.
It feels so good to be back.
Saw the details fall away. Saw the details fall away. Saw the